We are still in the book of Matthew. Today we are going to start chapter 20. And our topic today is going to be the principle of God's reward, the way God rewards his people. But before we start, let us humble ourselves and once again throw ourselves in prayer. Merciful Savior, we thank you so much for being our God. We worship you for who you are. Blessed Savior, you who knows us in and out, Father, we pray that continue to be with us, continue to strengthen us in our walk with you, Lord God. Blessed Savior, we ask that you continue to give us the grace to serve you, to be obedient to you, Lord God. Master, even when, O Lord, my King, things stand differently, we still, O Lord God, look to you. So, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your word together, O Lord. Master, now, it's my prayer, O Lord God, and our prayer that you help us to understand the truth behind what you are going to share. Lord, I pray and I ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us, O Lord Jesus, as we study the truth of your word. Lord, I ask for your guidance, I ask for the anointing of your spirit, and I pray, O Lord God, that we heed the truth of your word that you're going to start together in our heart and believe in it, Lord God, and act upon what you are going to ask us to do, Lord God, or correct us, or guide us, or lead us, or feed us, Lord my King, this evening. Once again, Lord, I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters who are here. May you continue to watch over us, and Jesus, let your will be done in everything and be with us in the rest of the service. In your name, Jesus, I humbly pray. Chapter 20 of Matthew. Now, I will read the whole. We are going to study 16 verses from chapter 20, which goes hand in hand with the last part of chapter 19. We'll examine that after reading. Chapter 20 from 1 to 16. If you have your Bible, let us turn to Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 to 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and send them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came in, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I give you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Praise God. This particular passage is about reward, receiving reward in the kingdom of God. I guess all of us expect something from God at the end of our lives, or when Jesus come for his second coming, to reward his children for what they have done. But there is a problem with this principle of the kingdom. Normally in our everyday life in this world, the one who works harder is the one who gets the bigger reward. If you are hired by any private person and go work in their field, if you work for 1 hour, it's not going to pay you for 12 hours, it's going to pay you for 1 hour. But in this story, you see that things were reversed. Those who worked only 1 hour received the same wage with those who worked almost 12 hours, non-stop. So in order to understand well this parable, let us understand where the parable comes from. This was a result or an answer to a question from Peter, which we studied in verse 19. When Jesus rebuked the young ruler, he asked him to go and sell everything and come and follow Jesus. The young ruler was sad and was not able to sell what he possessed to follow Jesus. And Jesus said that it's difficult for rich men to enter into the kingdom of God. That's where the problem comes in. Then Peter asked Jesus. Actually, all disciples are like, if this man cannot enter the kingdom of God, then who can? Jesus said to them, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And Peter stands, that's where I would pick us from, with a question. Yes, Jesus. The rich young ruler refused to follow you, refused to give up on what his possession. But we have left everything to follow you. And then the question goes like this in chapter 19, verse 27. Peter answered him, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? In other words, for us who have sacrificed everything, we are here to follow you. Now, is there something for us? In verse 28 and 29, Jesus promised them a reward. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left house or brother or sister or mother or wife or children or field for my sake will receive 100 times as much. And will inherit eternal life. At this point, everything goes well. This is chapter 19. The disciples want to know. We need our reward. We need to know. That's common with us. When you sacrifice your life for anything, working for somebody, you always want to know, what am I going to be paid? So the disciples, in one way or the other, were right. You know, yes, Jesus was God, but now he began discouraging them. It's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And these guys, possibly, as I said last week, in chapter 19, they were expecting to be rich. They were expecting to get some riches or fame from Jesus. But the hope was being canceled. That's why they turned to him. Now, what is there for us? So Jesus is promising them three important things. One, to sit with him on throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's equal to making them kings with Jesus, alongside Jesus. That's already a great reward for them. Secondly, he promised to pay them 100 times as much as what they left behind. Guys, don't worry. If there is anything you left behind, I'll pay you times 100. Well, this, you can't take it literally as it is. If say, Peter left one wife at home, it doesn't say that he's going to expect 100 wives in the kingdom of God. It's just a means of assuring them, I'm going to pay you abundantly. Now, the problem is not going to be with the reward or them expecting the reward. Now, the problem is going to be the manner or the way God is going to reward his children or his workers. Because Jesus, here, it's a warning. Jesus warned them. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. It's like, it's going to be the reverse. You guys, yes, you're going to be rewarded, but don't expect to be rewarded as the way the world rewards people. It's going to be different in my kingdom. So now we can tackle on chapter 20. Just that's a background of what was in chapter 19. Because chapter 20 is a continuation of chapter 19. Because verse 30 say, but many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be the first. And that's the same word that Jesus used in chapter 16 of verse 20. So the last will be the first, and the first will be last. So 19 and the last part of 19 and the parable in chapter 20, they just go hand in hand. Now, let us read verse 1 of chapter 20, if you have your Bible. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. Now, in order to understand parables, there are some keywords that we need first to unlock, get the meaning of those words. When you get the meaning of those words, then you can understand the parable easily. For instance, in verse 1, there are some keywords that I want us to look together. A word like the landowner, vineyard, kingdom, workers. What does Jesus mean with these words in this parable? Because if you understand verse 1, it's going to help us to understand the rest of the parable. Now, it's obvious that the landowner is Jesus Christ. Are we together with that? This is a Bible study. The workers are the apostles or the disciples of Jesus. The vineyard, it's the church of Jesus Christ or the body of Christ. Then it says towards the end of the verse that early in the morning, the landowner went to look for workers. Early in the morning, possibly at the beginning of Jesus Christ's church, that is at Pentecostal, when the church of Jesus Christ was born. Now, we can get some clue from other verses in the Bible, like in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 12. That's what the Bible says. So Christ himself gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher to equip his people for work of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach a unity in the faith and in knowledge of Son of God, become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, Jesus promising his disciples to equip them to do the work of service. When Jesus calls you, he doesn't only call you, he equips you to do his work, to do the service. And this starts with apostle. They were the first to be called. They were the foundation of Jesus Christ's church. Then in 1 Corinthians 12:28, the word of God says, and God has placed in the church, first of all, the apostle, second, prophets, third, teachers, then those who do miracles, the gift of healing, the gift of guidance, and different other kinds of tongues. Well, I want us to understand one thing from this verse. God has placed in his church, first of all, the apostle. Because in our passage, we are going to see how Jesus Christ called different people at different times. But it's very important to understand who are called first. Because Jesus said, those who are first are going to be the last. And these ones who are first are going to receive the same reward with the last. The problem is not going to be with the reward. And it's not going to be with Jesus. It's going to be with the first called servant to serve in the vineyard, or the first people called to serve in Jesus Christ's church. It's very important. Because Jesus here is sending a clear warning to the disciples. You guys, yes, you want to know what you receive in the kingdom, but things might turn around. You might expect to be the great in the kingdom of God. Then he came up with this parable to explain clearly to them what he wanted them to know. Elaborating the truth of first being last and last being first. In verse 2, the Bible says, he agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and send them into his vineyard. Now, here Jesus is agreeing with what? With his workers. A denarius a day. These are the first comer. These are the disciples. If you want to know what a denarius is, you go back to what Jesus promised Peter after the question. 100 times as much as what you left behind. You will sit on the throne and you will inherit eternal life. We can take the denarius as the promise of Jesus Christ in chapter 19. Again, the warning was first, last, and last, first. Verse 3 to 4. About the 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He called them, you also go work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. Now, notice that already now the disciples are busy working in the field. They are busy preaching the gospel. Now Jesus, possibly now he went in heaven. But remember, it's a calling is always from God. Jesus makes sure that he confirms that into your life to serve him. I don't know how he does that, but being that I'm in the ministry, I know that there is a time when you feel like you're really called to serve in church. We all come and attend church, but there is that great pressure you feel when God is calling you like into full-time ministry. That doesn't mean that church members are not called. They are also called, but I said that call of like serving deeply in the work of God like the apostles. So Jesus have called different people, different time, different generation to equip the church. So even about the 9 hour in the morning, Jesus went and called other people. After the disciples, you know very well that there are other great leaders in the church who came and served the church, like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was not in the original 12 disciples, but you know that most of the New Testament books were being written by Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, hear what Apostle Paul have to say in Colossians chapter 4, verse 11. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sent a greeting. These are the only Jew among my co-worker for the kingdom of God, and they have approved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Jesus Christ, send you a greeting. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Now, we see here Paul talking about his co-worker in the kingdom of God. Paul is mentioning Epaphras being a servant of Jesus Christ. So we have the disciples, we have the Paul, we have even other people in different generations coming to serve in the kingdom of God. Now, the problem is not being called in the kingdom of God, serving in the kingdom of God. Now the problem, remember where we are going, the reward. The manner God is going to reward his people is going to be the problem. In verse 5 to 7, he continued the same thing. He went out again about noon, about 3 in the afternoon, and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long, doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in the vineyard." Now, we have different times of calling. There are those who start in the morning, possibly between 6 and 7. There are those whom Jesus Christ called at 3 a.m. There are those of 12 p.m. There are those of 3 p.m. And there are those of 5 p.m. Possibly the work was supposed to end by 6, because the first servants complained that these ones have just come for 1 hour. So, which means that work was supposed to be finishing at 6. Now, the time here mentioned, it's just in a day limit. But I believe Jesus Christ is talking the time from the birth of his church until he comes back. So you know that all the disciples now have already gone to heaven. We don't have anyone with us today. And so many other people have been working in the church of Jesus Christ up to now. So I can humbly recognize myself as being called to also work in the vineyard. So picture like the servant of today still working the vineyard, possibly either somewhere at 3 p.m. or 5 p.m. towards the end, because I believe we are almost heading towards the second coming of Jesus Christ. In verse 8, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last. Beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." Then here the problem starts. Remember, we're talking about God is well rewarding his people. Now, when the time to pay, when the time to reward his people, Jesus Christ did not start with first people to come in the vineyard. Instead, he went away and started with the last ones. That's completely foreign to us. It's not natural. It's kind of unfair. Because the ones who are called first, possibly somehow we are asking themselves, we are going to get more money than these ones who came last. And that was their expectation. In verse 9, the Bible says, the workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. Now, remember, a denarius, according to the parable and where we are coming from 19, a denarius is equal to what Jesus Christ promised Peter. What was that? To pay them 100 times as much as what they left behind, to sit on the throne with him, and to inherit eternal life. It was okay with them. That was satisfactory to them. But the problem was one. It was the warning that Jesus gave to them. Yes, expect to be rewarded this way, but I might start with the last, and you who are first, be last. And that's going to cause a problem. In verse 10, so when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. So I just picture Jesus Christ making us all equal in his kingdom, no matter what. At the end of the day, what the first workers forget is they were saved by grace. They are called to serve in the kingdom by grace. Still, it's Jesus Christ who strengthens them and gives them the power to be able to achieve whatever they achieve in the kingdom. Remember Peter denying Jesus Christ like 3 times, that I don't know this man. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon Peter, he was the man who stood and accused the Pharisee and the ruler in Israel. You guys, you are the one who killed Christ. Now he was bold, strong. Why? Something has happened in Peter's life. He has now the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter now has the strength from above to be bold, to work for God. There is nothing we do for God in our own strength. Whatever we do it in his power. He called you to serve him, and he equipped you to do what he has called you to, what he has called you to accomplish in his kingdom. So each one of us individually have a specific thing that you have to accomplish in the kingdom. And you will not accomplish that by your own strength, by your own means. In one way or the other, God is going to equip you to achieve that. Because being a child of God, it's not for nothing. It's for something. No idol in the kingdom. You might be seeing you as not like standing behind this pulpit and preach the word of God, but in our different degree and capacities, we are serving God. Because this ministry cannot run apart from the faithful support of the members. So we are working together in the kingdom of Christ. So it's by grace that we serve. It's by grace that we are called. It's a privilege to be servant of Jesus Christ. It's a privilege to be recognized by God. Find us somewhere, hide and say, you man, I have something for you to do, come. When I left my business to come and serve in church, most of my friend or business partner whom I was working with, they used normally to call me and ask me, Elvis, we need your help, we need you to do what you normally do for us. And I always reply, I'm sorry, I cannot come because by that time I was in the Bible college studying and there was no way I could leave my studies and go and begin working for my fellow businessmen. So like in the evening, they called me, come by, we share a cup of tea or dinner, anything. So they asked me, what's going on in your life these days? I said, no, I'm in a Bible college. They say, Bible college? So you mean you failed to come to work because of Bible college? I say, yeah. What are you up to? I say, oh, man, I feel I'm called to serve in church. I say, are you crazy? I say, no, I'm not crazy. You leave money and you're going to serve God. I say, yeah. Eh, what are you targeting? I say, nothing. No, there must be something. I said, there is nothing. I just trust God that somewhere, somehow, he'll bless me or sustain, you know. They couldn't understand. You know, they look at how much money I benefit from them. Like, there is nothing good like what you are doing because you already have money. So why don't you continue working and making more money? But ladies and gentlemen, it's a privilege to serve in Jesus Christ's church. Either in a humble degree, it might be even like cleaning the toilets or making sure that the church is okay, is clean before you come in. When you're doing that for God, motivated by love from Christ, the reward is bigger. The reward is bigger because it's an eternal reward. You might be surprised that Jesus Christ makes you equal to the Peter, the Jones, the Billy Graham, and these other heavy, powerful men and women of God. Why? Whatever you're doing for the kingdom of God, it's by God's grace, by God's help. So what Peter was doing way back, it was not in his strength, grace. He was empowered by God himself. So he was nothing, as we are almost nothing, apart from what Christ does in us. So we are not working in UN for UN, United Nations. No, we are working for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is a universal job, a job which pays in this life and life to come. There's nothing in this world like that. Doing something here and expect reward in the life to come. No one. Yeah? NSSF can take care of you after a job, but in heaven, NSSF doesn't work. So your support to the kingdom, your work for the kingdom, man, I encourage you, you will not regret. In fact, here Jesus was being strengthened in Peter. Peter, don't worry about the reward. There will be enough. Don't worry about what you left behind. So at the same time, we need to encourage ourselves not to worry about what we sacrifice for the sake of Christ or the kingdom of God. But the problem still, at this point now, it's not the reward. It's jealousy. It's envy. Now the apostles are surely expecting more because they have worked harder. If we compare ourselves to the disciples, surely, knowing the story of how almost each of them died a terrible death due to the gospel, due to stand and, you know, make sure that the gospel got to another generation, we look at them as heroes of faith. So naturally, we expect the disciples to be greater rewarded than us, but that's not the case. As far as Jesus' parable is concerned, verse 11 to 14. But he answered one of them, I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give one who was hired last, the same as I gave you. Now, I'm convinced beyond the shadow of doubt that Jesus Christ was warning the disciples because they were the first, they were the pioneer in the church, they were the foundation of what Jesus Christ was establishing, his church, his body. But as far as the reward is concerned, he warned them, you guys, don't expect to be put first. I believe at Jesus' second coming, possibly the generation which will be alive by that time, if Jesus apply exactly the principle I see here, he's going to start with that generation, the 5 o'clock servant, then going on downwards, up to the disciples. So look at the disciples receiving the same reward with the people of our generation. It looks unfair, but that's God. He doesn't act as we do. He doesn't reward as the world rewards. But good thing, it's none of us deserve anything from God. Even being saved, it's a privilege. Sometimes I think, if God just can forget everything, but just have the privilege of being in heaven forever. That will be enough. But that's what God is calling us for. He's calling us for more than that. He's calling us for reward. He is ready and prepared to reward us. By the way, serving. Serving with, in your mind, knowingly that somewhere, somehow, God will reward me or you. Because that also will come. So Jesus ends with this verse. So the last will be the first, and the first will be last. At the second coming, when Jesus Christ comes to reward his servant. So expect the great. And being that we are living in the last days, we might be the generation Jesus Christ is going to start with. So picture yourself being made a king in heaven, like the apostles. Because in 1 Peter, verse 2, 1 Peter chapter 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, this is what the word of God say for us believers. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness to his wonderful light. Each believer, all of us genuinely born again from the Spirit of Christ, God looked to us as a royal priesthood. Is that right? Yeah. This is it's a great, great privilege. Picture yourself as a prince, princess, the kingdom of God. And that's who we are. God has called us for more. And the standard of him rewarding his people is going to be equal. And it's going even to be more favorable to those who are called last. And we seem to be the Christian of last days. So let us be strong. God might look at you like Apostle Paul, but I don't believe it, but you are one. Or else he reward you like him. That privilege is for us, because you know what? God rewards mercifully. He gives us undeserved favor, unmerited reward, something that did not work for. That's grace. You know, grace gives you something that you don't deserve at all. You might be even condemned to die, but God rewards you and add even more stuff. That's grace. So, God's judgment for reward is gracious. Undeserved. Undeserved reward. Unmerited favor. But there was just going to be a problem with those servants who have worked so hard, thinking that in the kingdom of God I'm going to be great. In the kingdom of God I'm going to receive much more because of what I have done. Always remember, whatever you have sacrificed for the sake of Christ, it's by grace, by his help, by his guidance, you have accomplished whatever you accomplished for the kingdom of God. That's why when we reach in heaven, we're not going to stand before God and begin saying, I have done A, B, C, D. Now I need a greater reward. Mm-mm. The A, B, C, D that you accomplished for the kingdom of God, it was not in your own strength, but in his own strength. Being called first and foremost to serve, it was a privilege. Remember, God called us out of dead men and women, spiritually speaking, and made us alive, give us life, saved us, you know, secure our hope for eternity. And on top of that, he's going to reward us. Now picture ourselves now begin complaining. Oh, Lord, I know so and so. He did not really attend church as more as I do. He's not tired as, no, give much as I normally give. Why do you give them so much stuff? God is gracious. Don't expect to be rewarded according to what you have done. But one thing for sure, we are going to receive much, 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 much more. Because our God is a big God. I always get encouraged when I wake up in the morning and just look in heaven and look at those stars in the sky, you know. Surely, if God really can make all this wonderful stuff and he calls us his own children, surely he have good purpose and plan for us. And I expect the great in heaven. There's something great over there. I've never been there, but just believe that God is going to surprise us. That picture ourselves with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He created us for greater things. So it's one thing to receive the reward, it's another thing to be there with him. Because it happened that not many are called that, but few are chosen. Let us work to be sure that we are qualified to be there. The reward will not be a big deal. As the choir comes up, as we cross, I encourage you to continue serving God, knowing that there is reward in heaven for us, that there is more than enough. And we can't outgive God. And there is a chance of Jesus Christ starting with our generation to reward us, because we are the last generation, I hope. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we honor you for who you are. Lord, we praise you for the privilege and opportunity, all my kin, to serve in your kingdom. Blessed Savior, we don't deserve anything, Lord, God, as far as rewards are concerned. To be saved first and foremost, to have the assurance of salvation, it's already a great reward. Called out of the world, O my King, out of the sinful men and women out there, and get to know you, Lord God, get to serve you, get to fellowship together, start the word of God together. Master, do whatever we are doing for you, it's a privilege. Blessed Savior, we pray that we'll not be among those who are going to question, why have you made us equal with those who have come last? But help us to appreciate and serve faithfully now in our lifetime. Blessed Savior, be able, O God, to receive the grace of spending eternity with you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. We praise you and we glorify you for who you are. And continue to strengthen us all in our different weaknesses, in our different struggle, O God, need, helping us and equipping us to serve you faithfully. In your precious name, Jesus, we humbly pray.